it is time once again for Stroman on Sports. That's the music of Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC professor, UVA professor, sports businesswoman, entrepreneur, of course, the host of If You Only Knew here on 97.9 The Hill. She joins me every Friday to talk about some of the biggest news stories in sports of the week. Deb, how's it going?
Things are going great. Looking forward to this movement towards fall sports, but we still have some things going on in the summer.
Yeah, we sure do. Talking about fall sports, it was kind of unbelievable that UNC women's soccer kicked off, had their first game last night. We're about a week away from the Tar Heels kicking off their season in football. And of course, we have a bunch of preseason NFL football going on. And as is the case typically when it comes to the NFL, tons of storylines happening. Unfortunately, some of them in this case, not exactly for the better. One of the biggest storylines right now is Deshaun Watson and his suspension getting bumped up a little bit. For some context out there, I'm sure our listeners remember Deshaun Watson, star quarterback for Clemson, was drafted, played for the Houston Texans for a couple of years, sat out last NFL season to try and demand a trade. But during that time, a whole bunch of lawsuits popped up from 24 women who sued Watson for sexual assault. They were all massage therapists or masseuses who say that he assaulted them. The timeline since then is Watson gets traded to the Cleveland Browns, who give him the biggest contract in NFL history in terms of guaranteed money. And the NFL initially heard from an independent arbitrator that he should get 6 games because of his actions. That has since now been bumped up to 11 games, Deb, and handed down a $5 million fine from the NFL as well. That's one of the largest ever punishments for a player when it comes to a monetary fine. Deb, I want to get your reaction on this, but my initial one was I saw these numbers and I still, it doesn't seem like it's nearly enough when you consider 24 women alleging some pretty heinous stuff on Watson. Of course, he hasn't been charged or found guilty of a crime, and he has maintained his innocence. But when you have 24 women coming out against you, it's pretty damning. So what are your thoughts now on this suspension for Watson getting bumped up to 11 games and us seeing a pretty significant fine handed by the NFL?
Well, there's no doubt this is one of the bigger sports stories in the past decade, if not the history of the league. Two things come to mind. The first is as you and many people know of my work around racial equity, I'm reminded of how I try to examine and unpack what does a racist look like? What does a person who's a bigot look like? What does a person who causes unnecessary harm look like? And oftentimes the imagery in our minds and our brains is that uneducated person who, you know, doesn't have much money, you know, has maybe 3 or 4 hairs on his or her head, and they are missing all of their teeth. And we have to remember that what is going on in our country in terms of inequity, in terms of exclusion, it's everybody around us. It's our neighbors. It is our people who are running our organizations. It's the person you sit next to in your church or synagogue or faith center, as in it is us. And so with that being said, it's the same thing with this. Deshaun Watson is the prototype, ideal quarterback, blossoming young man. He's handsome. He's won big time at the highest level in college football. He's had a great beginning to his NFL career. He's engaging. He's articulate. He's a good guy to, you know, his friends and family members. And yet, and this is what my truth is that he's also someone who's guilty of sexual assault. And so can we frame that in our minds that people that we love, people that we care about can do bad things? So with all that being said, understanding that Deb, even though you met Deshaun Watson, you took pictures with him, he smiled, he was kind and everything, that yes, that a person that we care dearly about, a person that we love, can also do bad things. Now, who wins in this? Nobody. The NFL doesn't win because you have so many people are saying 11 games, $5 million, that's nothing to this guy. And then you've got teammates who feel, you know, whether it's from pressure from their own family and friends who are saying, how can you work with this guy and what he's done? You think about the sponsors. You know, you run the risk of what am I going to lose in terms of people believing in my product, in my service, but it's connected to Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. You know, there's so many different ways that you really don't get a win in this. And then last of all, you know, from what I've heard, Watson is still in denial. He's saying this did not occur. And so where is he going to get his therapy? Will he get therapy? Unless, of course, this is all a media thing. And behind the scenes, he has admitted and he is getting treatment for it. So I don't see a win in this. I'm glad it's in the news because this brings attention to what's going on in our local communities and in terms of how we can help when we have situations where wrongdoing is done and how are we going to hold people accountable.
Well, I have to look at it in this way, that Watson is still the one who's winning here because he's got like a $230 million contract that's guaranteed by the Browns. He's going to be suspended for 11 games this year, but the Browns specifically structured his contract in a way where he's only making $1 million this year. So he's only losing just a very, very, very small portion of his contract because they knew he was going to get punished. And I'm sure the Browns are going to feel like winners, too, when Watson eventually steps out onto a field and they hope that they're playing a playoff game. You know, by the time we get to that point, depending on where the Browns are in their season, he's going to be welcomed back with open arms, and the Browns and Watson are probably going to be considered winners at that point. But it goes back to those 24 women and probably many more. At this point, we have to assume maybe many more women who he assaulted or at least emotionally or physically affected, which is horrible. But of course, Deb, this is not the first time we've seen this conversation happen in the NFL. Maybe not to this scale, but this is not the first time where the NFL is giving out a punishment that doesn't seem to really feel like it's weighted based on how another person was affected. We've seen this with Ben Roethlisberger, with Ray Rice, just to name a few, Tyreek Hill even though charges were dropped in this situation. As a woman who is in sports business, loves the sport of football, Deb, but is also acutely aware of the NFL's shortcomings, I'm curious to your answer on this. Is the message to women that the NFL is sending with this suspension any different from the NFL's messages in prior scenarios where they've punished players for their actions against women?
Well, I do believe that it doesn't matter if it's women, if it doesn't matter if it's people of color, if it doesn't whether we go by positions, the NFL has problems. And because of that, to this level, I've had to back away from it. So I'm one who had the DirecTV package and all the other different offerings and memorized stats and everything. But going from the Colin Kaepernick matter to the race norming to Deshaun Watson, if you're about it, you've got to walk the talk. And so I've always been one who's been mindful and done critical thinking around the NFL, but there's no way I can lead with it now and be a big champion and trying to watch every game and all of that. If the game is on, I might watch it. If I'm at an event, a party, I might tune in. I'll be engaged, but not to the same level. This has definitely hit me as a woman we just can't condone this. Now, what will it take to bring in leadership that is conscious, that is compassionate, that has the courage to say no to bad behavior? It might need an entire overhaul. It would definitely need some type of organizing, whether it's from women's and men's groups, whether it means the fan base in terms of ticketing and what's purchased. But right now, the full breadth, and I'm not pointing out one particular individual, but the full breadth of the NFL ownership clearly is all about the bottom line and money. And you are correct when you think about the wins. Maybe it's just something that we come to be more comfortable with, is that Americans have a short memory. This will go away in a year or two when the Browns start competing and they start winning with Deshaun Watson, as quarterback. But definitely it is something that's challenging and certainly bothers me as a woman and many other women.
It's another conversation I think would be interesting to have down the road, is how tricky it is to fully step back if you are still interested in sports, just because the NFL is so dominant, not only in sports culture, but just American culture in general. Very different across the board from pretty much any other sport, maybe college football, and for some places like our home, college basketball too. But yeah, it's really hard to fully step back and get away from, but I know at least several people who were Cleveland Browns fans who have now switched their allegiances because of this, and even Carolina Panthers fans who are now out on the Panthers because they were in the early stages of a pursuit of Watson too. It's a really tight line to ride and tough to kind of separate all of the rest of the games when you know that this guy's still out there being treated like a leader in the league. Let's turn from one league that is deeply and inherently problematic to a league that is kind of a champion when it comes to talking about progressive issues, which is the WNBA. That season still happening, and their playoffs actually just got started recently. What are you excited about when it comes to WNBA playoffs, Deb, and what are you watching for? Because we have some pretty incredible storylines to follow.
Well, there's no doubt that I am very, very excited about the WNBA. That is my sport, my primary sport that I played in college and coached at Chapel Hill, and that is basketball. And these women are playing great basketball. Certainly watching the individual superstars and how they're delivering. We've got the storylines of, you know, Sue Bird and Sylvia Fouts are retiring this year. You've got a Phoenix Mercury team that no one expected them to make it thus far without Diana Taurasi, Skylar Diggins, and Brittany Griner. They're in it. You've got an upstart New York team that's just filled with just amazing college players that have taken it to the next level in New York. And they've upset the number two seed in Chicago Sky with Candace Parker. And then you've got, you know, the powerhouse team, which people expect to win it all, Las Vegas Aces. They've got a stacked team. And having Becky Hammon come over from the NBA, former college superstar, as the first-year head coach at Las Vegas, and she's doing a great job. So it's compelling. The games are there's only really one blowout game. Other than that, they've been competitive. I'm excited about women's basketball. Now, the other question is, why aren't people watching more? The ratings have been some of the best in the ESPN's history, which is great. So we see things moving in the right direction. But I still wonder whether or not our country has the appetite for professional women's basketball.
Yeah, I think that I hope that they will get there at some point. And the best way to continue to find out is being able to just continue pushing it, but continuing putting marketing behind it and, you know, trying to do your best to share it on social media. I'll credit Bleacher Report. I've seen a bunch of WNBA highlights shared this year on Bleacher Report where I don't think that was a priority in years past. I know one thing that I'm watching when it comes to these playoffs, Deb, is Sue Bird and a last ride. And she's on a Seattle Storm team that is pretty good, too. I mean, you've got Breonna Stewart on there, who was great. And you have Jewel Lloyd, who absolutely took over in that first opening win that they had against the Mystics last night. I'm really hoping that Sue Bird can end her basketball pro career on a high, pro playing career, I should say, on a high. And I'm excited to see how these first round games continue to progress.
Yes, for sure. I'm a big Sue Bird fan. She's had a wonderful career. She's been a great ambassador for the game. If you think about people that Tar Heel Nation might remember or ACC Nation, Jewel Lloyd being a star at Notre Dame, certainly had a chance to watch her play in college. And also, people might have forgotten Diamond DeShields. You know, Diamond spent her first year here at Chapel Hill, and no doubt one of the best players recruited out of high school ever. And now to see her with Phoenix Mercury and showing us her brilliance on the basketball court, especially after coming back from such a terrible, terrible illness. I believe it was a neurological disorder. To go from learning how to walk again to now being out on the court and delivering great minutes, a big asset to their team. So a lot of interesting storylines. I'm happy to see, you know, the games, the playoffs being on ESPN primetime, and so people can check in and watch this different game of basketball. Don't compare it to men's basketball. Although players are dunking and doing very athletic moves, it is a different game, and the comparisons are not needed.
And yet it is still great hoops. So if you're a hoops fan, be sure to tune in because there are going to be some really good games that are happening throughout this weekend as we're getting closer and closer to the rest of college sports returning too, which I know our community is definitely excited for. As always, Deb, thank you so much for the time. And enjoy the rest of your Friday and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Go Heels.